Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everyone, depending upon where you are. My name is Devin, and I will be your host for our weekly Awaken Global call today. Welcome to our call, and thank you for joining us. Our guest speaker today is none other than Bradley Stahl, and Bradley really embodies today's theme of living and teaching, experimenting daily kindness. Our moderator today, Nicole, will guide us in conversation with guest speaker, Bradley Stahl. And Bradley, again, thank you for joining us and welcome to our call.
You're very welcome.
Would you like to take it over, Nicole?
Yeah, you know, in preparation for this call, not only did I get to go on a short walk with Bradley and he shared so many stories, I also did a little, I did a little snooping, Bradley, into your life and to see if I could get some of those unknown stories out there. There's no shortage of them, from directly teaching mass at a high school, and also indirectly getting to teach kindness, and sometimes actually even directly, to volunteering at Karma Kitchen regularly, and then what I've really noticed is you choose to spend your time listening, and observing the world and seeing where you can bring kindness to it. And if that's with a homeless person that you've met on the streets, with your students or your family, you just listen really, really well, and have built up that muscle to be able to just kind of lead out in the world in kindness. And I'm so excited for us to jump in.
Thank you. I must say certainly my entire life hasn't been like this.
Right. Well, that's my first question.
And I do need to work on the latter one with the for some reason it's been easier since I began kind of this journey, I guess, a couple years ago, or maybe a year and a half ago. It's just been easier beginning with strangers, and with my students, and then we all have our different perceptions of how things are going, and I've I'm working on the family part of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's, I think my first point, or first place I would love to start and is really talking about when did you know it was, is kind of time to take on kindness? Did you have a big aha moment? Or was it something you had been thinking about for a while? And, how did that process go of just coming into this part of your life?
I think it's been a bunch of little moments. I used to, up until, I would say, this last year, whenever Thanksgiving would roll around, I would typically get very moody, a little bit depressed, and then Christmas things didn't really get much better. I mean, it wasn't like a deep depression. It was more of a almost a guilt for being privileged and for having what other people didn't have. That really, the holiday times is when it really hit me, and I never really did anything about it other than wallow a little bit in, I guess, a little bit of self-pity. And then it was 2012, 2 years ago, so 2013, I think the year was, when Nipun spoke at our graduation, and at our high school graduation, and he had mentioned this thing about Karma Kitchen, and I was like, I was kind of intrigued by that. So when I got home, I Googled it and I thought, I would like to volunteer here. I've always wanted to volunteer somewhere and try and make a little bit of a difference. But I got a hold of a place in Hayward, and Karma Kitchen was no longer in service there, and so it just kind of fell on the wayside. And then about a little over a year ago, one of my former students, Vishesh, came to me, and we were still in contact, and he had told me about Awaken Wednesdays. He's like, oh, you should come on out. And so I thought, sure, okay. You know, I said, well, when are you going to be there? And turns out the first Wednesday I was there, he wasn't there. and it was like, well, do I walk in? What do I do here? It looks like I put my shoes here. I don't know. I was just so moved by it, at that circle. It was like the honesty and the insight and the non-judgment that 50 plus people had was just amazing. The house being opened up to these people and been doing this for, at the time it was 17 years, and some of the people I met there, and it's just that, I guess, was the big change right there in that really got me thinking about what it is that I'm doing and what I want to do.
And then can you share this story of kind of maybe one of the first steps you took into bringing kindness into the world, and particularly called to share the story, to have you share the story of making some sandwiches for the homeless?
I'll go back about 8 years, first of all. my cousin, Lori, was homeless at the time, which I didn't know. She was living up near Portland. She was killed. And the only reason I think, honestly, that I found out about it was about a month before she was killed, they had a picture of her in the paper. And the picture was of a wonderful lady named Kelly Gorby, who had given her a newly purchased winter coat. It was in December. And there just happened to be a photographer nearby that snapped a picture of this. And Lori was standing there with her sign saying that she was homeless, and there was a picture of Kelly just giving her this jacket. And I honestly, that's the only reason that I probably found out about her even being killed. And so that's kind of what's drawn me to homeless people also. And that was 8 years ago. And this was a cousin that I'd grown up with but hadn't seen. She had been in and out of jail for much of her adult life and rehab. And I just felt, I felt a sense of guilt, like what could I have done if I would have known? Maybe nothing, maybe something. So I've had this desire, and I told my wife this a while ago, probably about maybe a year ago. I said I wanted to go live on the streets for like the weekend and be homeless in San Francisco and live and see what they go through every single day of their lives. That wasn't met with as much enthusiasm as I had for it. It was met with a little fear, and wasn't that dangerous? I guess I'll talk a little about that later on. She came up with a compromise. And so Carol actually said, well, why don't we make some sandwiches and some lunches and put them together, and we'll make nutritious lunches and we'll bring them into San Francisco and hand them out to the homeless. Like, okay, well, that was a good, and we did that as a family. So we went and got some, bought a bunch of lunch meat and made some really good sandwiches and put some fruit in there and some water. And we lugged all of our stuff into San Francisco. And then we just walked along and handed it out. And every once in a while, someone would ask us for two. It's like, oh, can I have another one? And it's like, sure, have another one. It didn't take long to realize that we could have brought a lot more because there's a lot of people that need a little help. But I also realized, we found out that there are certainly others. I've went down since, and I brought not quite as many. But I brought down a dozen or so another time, and I saw other people in the area also giving out lunches. There's a program in Hayward that was doing the same thing, that every weekend they go in and hand out lunches. And there's areas down there where if people can get to them to go eat. There was a couple of young ladies on this just sitting on the corner that were giving out free coffee. They went to Starbucks, purchased their own coffee, and were giving out to whoever wanted it. And so it just it gave me hope that there are incredibly beautiful people in the world that are so giving and without expectation, and I mean just doing it to do it.
Yeah, and I think that's it runs kind of common, I think, in some of the stories that I've heard. I had to dig a little because I think by design, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but by design, you know, you're not seeking to, you know, the world doesn't need to know that you're doing this. You just went on out and gave these sandwiches. And so many of your stories, it's like you just did them anonymously. So much so that I learned that there's this story that you brought someone home to your house, and you had to tell your wife about it recently because you had a feeling it might be on this phone call. I wonder if you would share that story as well.
Yeah, so I had dropped my daughter off at dance practice in San Jose, and on the way there, there was a man on the side of the road. He had a shopping cart, and so I went back, and I was gonna get a cup of coffee, and there was a restaurant nearby, and so I saw him. I said, "Oh, would you like to have some breakfast?" And he's like, "I found that the less you have, I think, the more trusting you are." He's like, "Sure, I'd love to have some breakfast." He said, "Well, I've got all this stuff here," and his sleeping bag. He says, "I can't leave it out because if I do, someone will steal it." So "Well, I'll just throw it in my car, and that way it'll be safe." So I brought him in, and I didn't have breakfast, but I got him breakfast, and you know, we're just sitting there, and I was just talking to him and finding out a little bit about his life, and then after he was done eating, I asked him. I said, "Well, you know, would you like to get cleaned up?" And he's like, "Sure." I said, "Well, I live in Fremont." I said, "You know, I can drive you home." And the fact that he was trusting of me was pretty amazing. It kind of grows. I think trust and kindness for me and respect just sort of all get mingled together, and it's hard for me to separate them. And maybe I'm too trusting at times, but that's the way I'm becoming, I guess.
Yeah.
And so I drove him home, and my son was there. I let him take a shower. He went in, his name is James, I think it was. And he went in and took a shower and got all cleaned up, and I got him a little drink, and he just kind of sat in the kitchen table for a while, and then I said, "Well, you know, I had to go back and pick up my daughter at dance lessons." He was ready to go back where he was from, and so I on the drive back he fell asleep in my car, and I mean it was a hot day out. Otherwise, I think I would have just let him sleep in there for a while, but it was very hot, but it was so sweet just looking over at him, and he was so peaceful. It was kind of heartbreaking when I had to drop him off and say, "Okay, now it's," because he hadn't like nowhere to go. I'm just trusting that things are going to be what they're going to be regardless, and good things are going to happen. So, I mean, it was met with a little bit of fear, it was funny because Carol was telling me, she mentioned this to some of her friends, and some of them are like, "He did what?"
Well, so how long did how long between it happening did you tell your wife?
Oh, it was quite a while. It was 4 months, because it was back in the fall, I guess. And I don't even remember the date on it actually, but
yeah.
it was a while. And it was one of the things I wanted to tell her, and then then I had in my mind, I thought, no, because she's not going to be happy with it, and rightfully so. She certainly had reason to be upset with me, and in the end, she was upset. I think I hurt her more. It was more of a disappointment that I didn't tell her right away, than being so mad. So I think her emotions sort of changed. If I would have told her right away, I think it would have been more of an anger and not a disappointment in me. And then it turned into so now there's, I'm working on having her regain my trust a little bit. And she's fearful, I think, sometimes of some of the things I might do. And like I said, it's just something that I have to work on.
I want to actually have you share one more story, and then I want to kind of talk about after that story. I want to talk about how you keep going when the world is kind of not in that same places where you might be at the moment. Before we get to that, I would love to hear about how you've brought this into your school and with your students. And there's so many stories I've heard, so I think I'm going to let you pick a story, if it's the 21-Day Kindness Challenge or the Moments of Silence you did at the start of classes, or any other story just of how you've brought it into the school as well that you teach at.
Well, I guess the Moment of Silence was one of my... at the beginning of the year, I decided that I was going to be very intentional, and I was going to make, if you will, the students relax and calm down and just kind of gather their thoughts before we started in a hectic day of learning math. And so I wanted to do this at the beginning of each period. So initially, it's like, okay, we're going to do this for 5 minutes. And then after the first period of the school day, of the first day of the school year, I realized that 5 minutes was too long for them. So I immediately shortened it down to 3 minutes. And so all I told the students, and I didn't really implement this probably in the best way possible. I'm going to try and do it again next year more effectively. So I told the students, I said, you can either participate or not. If you chose not to, they had to wait out in the hallway, and if they wanted to, of course, they'd come in. And the majority of them took part in it, at least sat in the classroom. And I also wanted to be a part of it. I didn't want to be someone who was looking over them to make sure they were doing it. So what had happened was one day I was actually being observed by my department chair. And I started class the way I always did. I took out my phone, I started up the app, and I said, okay, here's our 3 minutes of silence. And after class, he talked to me a little bit, and he said, not everyone was partaking in this. And I said, no, I know. I said, some do, some don't. I said, but I didn't want to force it on anyone. And so I was given a couple of options. I either had to force everyone to participate, which I didn't want to do, or I had to give all alternate work for those that didn't want to participate, which I didn't want to do. I thought, well, if I then give an assignment, then they're going to do it so they don't have to do the assignment. But in the end, I had expectations. And I got to learn to kind of let go of that. But some good things have come of that, because I have a couple of classes. I emailed all the students and I said, look, I said, if you would like to do this in class every day, let me know. I need everyone to be on board. And more than half of the students emailed me saying how much they appreciated it. And
yeah.
when they wrote me Christmas cards, they told me how much they appreciated it. So I know that it touched some students. And I had one class, I still have one class, who once or twice a week, they'll ask, they say, can we have our 3 minutes of silence? And so we do it. And even the ones that, you know, maybe weren't meditating, or maybe, you know, I had one student in first period, and he would actually sit out in the hallway. He chose not to come in the classroom, but he wrote me and he said, you know, he said, even though I didn't sit in the classroom and participate, he said he really appreciated it because it just allowed him some time to himself for just a few minutes before, you know, kind of before we have to jump into our academics. And I think for students who come to school and who, like, get here right at 8 o'clock, it's kind of nice to sort of just relax for a few minutes. So it did, it was helpful to many. And I have to, you know, I'll take that as a victory for them. And for our students and see where it goes. I was recently reading about what was his name? Dave Evans, I believe his name was, a professor at Stanford who teaches a class Designing Your Life. And I just thought, oh, what a wonderful idea. And I thought, well, why do we wait till they're in college to do this? Getting ready to get out of college. So I thought, I wonder what that would look like in high school, I emailed Dave to get his thoughts on it, and we'll see if he gets back to me. But I also emailed some of our administrators and are sharing it with them and think, well, what would something like this look like here? I got into teaching because I loved math. And that was actually the only reason, I think, is because I enjoyed math so much. I stay in teaching because I love the students. And now I realize that it doesn't matter what I teach. You know, if I could get involved in teaching something like this designing your life class, I would just, I'd be thrilled to get involved in something like that. So,
yeah. And so between these two stories, I hear you really leading with kindness first. If you were to kind of show your priorities, that's at the forefront. And the world is kind of maybe on a different priority or a different mindset. And there's nothing wrong with that, but you still have to kind of play that dance or dance with the world around you. And how do you do that when the reaction might not be what you intended or that you hadn't thought about, or even sometimes I know that you do a lot of anonymous acts of kindness. You just don't know. What the outcome was. How do you keep going?
Nemo keeps me going sometimes.
I listened to
his album Empty Hands this morning again. Being Kind. That song blows me away. I was recently something I took off of Daily Good recently was critical thinking without hope is cynicism. Hope without critical thinking is naivety. And I think I probably fall into the latter part of that statement, hope without critical thinking. Some would call me naive, certainly. I guess I want to be a little bit careful in that, you know, I guess a lot of what I goes back to the things that I've gotten from Nemo is, you know, be careful of the impact you want to make. Make sure you're impacted each and every day. I feel you're right that most of the acts of kindness that I do, I really don't. I mean, I'll post them on Kindspring, because I've got this sort of anonymity, and so I enjoy that. But I typically don't, regardless of what they are, I don't like talking about them much, except here. So I just think, you know, with the, you know, within what, nearly 7 billion people that we have in the world, and how many, you know, trillions have walked the earth at one time or another, everybody is capable of kindness. You know, it's whether or not we choose to do it. And it's just, you know, maybe it's just a Band-Aid that I'm doing, or maybe not. I mean, there's the only thing that I can affect and change is myself. And if my acts change someone else, so be it. And if they don't, then that's okay too.
It's just
who I have to be, and everything I do. It's not the way other people have to be. I talk a lot about intent with some of my students, and about philanthropy, and it's like, well, you know, look what they did, but what was their intent? Was their intent to get their name in the paper, to get publicity? And some feel that intent doesn't matter, and some feel it does. Certainly we need people like Bill Gates and to give of themselves and to give of their money. But then as Preeta was saying, it's like, well, you know, some of the greatest men no one ever finds out about, or women.
Yeah.
certainly.
I really, when you said the name Bill Gates, I my brain instantly went to this, almost in not to say inhuman, but just this person that is unattainable, and I could never have a conversation with, and his impact is in a whole another realm, and yet there's something about having a conversation with you and the impact that it has just hearing your story, of which I don't even think I know maybe a tenth of them, and I really love what you're saying that, you know, it's a choice, and you've chosen kindness, and that's what works for you, and that's all you really can change. And if you want to see kindness in the world, you have to be the kindness.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so apparent that you just live that every single day. So I feel called to just say thank you right now. Even though I have more questions, but I just feel it's time to say thank you.
You're welcome. So some of the, I'll tell you another story that happened kind of recently. My daughter saw a spider in our bathroom. And so she called me. She won't call Carol because Carol's afraid of spiders. And so she called me. She's like, Dad, she says, can you take care of this spider? And so I went in there and she's like, well, take him outside. Don't kill him. So it's like, okay. So I grabbed the spider, took his legs and brought him outside and set him down. And then maybe a couple weeks later, Carol saw a spider. And so I went and got it, and I carried it outside. And she kind of made the comment about, oh, so we're not killing spiders anymore. And I said, well, you know, if I can, you know, avoid it, I guess. And then the other night there was a mosquito in the house. And so she didn't ask me to take care of the mosquito. She actually took care of it, took care of the mosquito himself, and she swatted him. And so then I think just last night she asked me, she said, so are you not going to kill mosquitoes anymore? And I said, well, I said, if I can catch it and let it outside, then I think that would be my choice, I guess, to do. And then we talked about mosquitoes carrying diseases, and I said, well, I hope that you would you know, if we weren't around, that you wouldn't let the mosquito get away. And I said, well, I don't want to get bit by mosquito any more than you do. So I said, in the end, I would probably swat it and take care of it. But
yeah.
But I don't want to. I really want to see all living things in the same way, no different from me. And that's hard to do sometimes. But it's gotten me eating less meat, that's for sure. I guess I was reading something came across. There was a post that maybe it was on Facebook or something. Someone was commenting in another country. And it was directed at Americans, I think. Mm-hmm. And it said something to the effect about, you're criticizing me for eating a dog while you're sitting there eating your chicken. And it's interesting how we just see, over here, we see those animals completely differently. And yet,
yeah.
You know, imagine someone who has a chicken as a pet. I mean, people do. And yet then we sit down and I still eat chicken now. I've cut out beef and I've cut out a few things. And I certainly eat less meat, but it just shows you, we all have our lines that we draw in a different place. And especially when it comes to life, we kind of decide which life we're going to respect and which life we won't. I kind of want to get away from that place. Just like I don't want to decide who deserves kindness and who doesn't. I don't want to sit and think about, okay, does this person deserve my act of kindness or don't they? Do they deserve my respect or not? Do they deserve my trust or not? I just want to offer those as a gift.
It sparked something for me. I recently was given $100 to pay forward, and it changed my whole day. And I was traveling. I was in a different city, and I spent a lot of time thinking about, well, who deserves this, and where can my money have the biggest impact? And I kind of halfway through the day, I realized that I was so stuck in my thoughts of thinking about, well, who might deserve it more. And then all of a sudden, I just said, you know what, I'm giving it to the next person. I'm just going to see what happens. The next person I come across, I don't care if it's some businessman that doesn't need it, or if it's a homeless person, I'm going to give it to that. And it ended up being a pedicab driver who had gifted me a free ride because he had seen me smiling for blocks at people, and it had just started to rain. So it ended up being serendipitous, but I really do love what you're saying. Like, who am I to kind of say who deserves kindness? Everyone deserves kindness. So thank you for bringing that perspective. And we have just three, four minutes left. We have a decent amount of callers that I know are going to ask some questions and give us some input. So we have really time for one, maybe two more stories. And I know you sent me a top 10 list of stories, kind of stories. So I'm going to let you choose from that list what you want to share last before we jump into Q&A.
Okay. Well, the first thing in is I definitely have to hit number one. And Nipun, I heard him speaking the other day, and he was talking about this, that the gift of life that our mothers gave us, carrying us around for 9 months. And so after he was talking about that at Karma Kitchen. And so when I got home, I wrote a letter to my mom, which I haven't done. I talked to her, but I haven't written her a letter in probably 35, 40 years. And so I wrote her what was for me a pretty long letter and thanked her basically for that and asked a lot of questions. One thing that happened, we talk about, sometimes I talk about rubbing off on my children, and mm-hmm. I guess in those regards, it's like, well, you know, I do have expectations, and I really do want to impact them, but I want to be careful on how that works. But anyways, my son, he went to see Fast and Furious 7 or 8, whichever one it's on, last night. And opening night theater was rather full. And so when I picked him up from the movie, he gets in the car and he's like, well, he says, I did an act of kindness at the theater. And I was like, oh, what'd you do? And he said, well, I was sitting down. I had an empty seat on either side of me, which I like. He likes putting his arms out and having that space. But then two people walked in, and they needed a place to sit. And so Brandon looked up and said, I'll move down if you'd like to sit here. And they said, oh, thank you. And so he did that. And so, you know, would he have done that otherwise? I don't know. In the end, I guess it doesn't matter. But the fact he did it it made me so hopeful. And it's like, it was one of the best gifts he could give me. Mm. For Christmas, this was kind of a funny story, actually. For Christmas, Carol and the kids gave me a letter, which they made a donation to Service Space, and they had written a letter to Service Space with a donation, and then they gave me a photocopy of it. And funny thing is, they actually took a picture of the letter and put it on Service Space's website or in the feed. And Carol didn't know that was going to happen, and so when I told her it happened, like, then she felt like oh geez, but it was such a sweet gesture, she said, I talked to the kids and we know what Service Space, what a difference they've made in your life, and so she gave me her blessing to do a 10-day, which she knows that I've been wanting to do, and so sometime in the future, I'll be able to do that. A big thing on my list, I guess, that I don't mention enough of is forgiveness. And the forgiveness that I've been given is phenomenal for some of the things that I've done. Dating back to when I was a young child, I can all the way back to when I was like, I think 2 or 3 years old, when I used to play with fire and matches, and I started fires and
wow.
I didn't burn any buildings down, but I could have. Those are some acts of kindness that I just can't ever certainly minimize.
Yeah. So we're going to move into Q&A, and I just want to share, I'm going to hand it back over to Devin, and that we've had a couple of web chats come in just thanking you for your honesty and how it's refreshing and inspiring, and especially to a caller that is kind of new to kindness and having that conversation that I think it sounds like you inevitably have. In leading a life of kindness, you end up getting to have conversations about kindness with other people. And so not only do they have your example, they also have a conversation they probably might not have otherwise had to contemplate it for themselves in their own life. So thank you. And I'm going to... Devin, do we have some callers that are asking some questions?
Yes, we do. Mm-hmm. Yes, Nicole, we do. Going to our first caller.
Yes, hello. This is Mish in New York City, and I just want to say, Bradley, that I, too, have been totally struck by your openness and honesty to the point that I've been crying off and on during the call. It's beautiful to experience you, and thank you. I'm familiar with you, I believe, from your posts at Service Space, and I just wanted to briefly say that for me, kindness, the desire, the strong desire to be kind and to do no harm puts the brakes on my reactivity, because prior to joining Kind Spring, I was very fiery and reactive, and not being reactive is a kindness for myself, God knows, my nervous system, and for everyone around me. And finding Kind Spring and immersing myself into the community was the catalyst, or if you will, my awakening. I mean, I was a nice person and I was kind, but nowhere near as I am now, because kindness consciousness became my inner compass, I would say, and you experience every life encounter from your heart space and takes you from a me consciousness to a we consciousness, how we think, how we act, and it's kind spring for me is just the daily sharing. It inspires us, it teaches us, it increases our kindness consciousness, and it's like taking a graduate course in how to be the best person you can be. And just thank you so much for sharing yourself today, because I have to stop talking now because I'm crying again. Thank you.
Thank you, Mish. I appreciate your call, and I also enjoy reading all of your posts on KindSpring.
Thank you.
I look at my life, I guess, and like I said, I haven't certainly always been this way, and I can break it up into periods where, you know, probably up until I was even in my mid-20s, I mean, I wouldn't say I was a mean person, but I certainly wasn't concerned about others. I mean, it was just pretty much me, and added, you know, certainly a few friends, but I didn't think about others hardly at all. So I think that's the one thing that, and then of course when I, you know, my family, then it was just my family, after I got married and, with my children. And, but even then it's like, okay, what about there are other people still? It's not just me and it's not just us. It's everyone. Mm-hmm. I truly believe that on some level, we are all connected to one another.
Yeah.
And because of that, we should treat each other in that manner. Mm-hmm. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mish. And let me get to our next caller. Hi.
Hello. This is Mindy Journey, also from KindSpring. And thank you very much to all for the beautiful call today. And Bradley, I've admired your posts on Service Space and also on KindSpring. I don't remember your tag, but I remember your post during a challenge about your students and how you were bringing kindness to the classroom. I appreciate everyone's effort here. And I'd like to say that I have also been transformed through this space, through kindness, the last year and a half. I've always been somewhat kind, tried to be, but not very confident. I would take other people's opinions into myself, but now I know that kindness is the link and it's the love that we share. My father-in-law, after he transitioned, came to me in a dream, and he said, "It's the love, it connects us all." And I keep that in mind in everything I do. I try to. And on a recent trip to San Francisco, I wrote to you before I left about my concerns, what I could do for the homeless people while we were there traveling. And you had some ideas, but mostly it was just to open my heart and to listen. And while we were on vacation there, of course, we stayed at a hotel. We were on Fisherman's Wharf and very touristy, but there was a lot of homeless. And I made a special effort to order an extra breakfast sandwich or something and to give it to a person in need. And not only to do that, but to look them in the eyes, shake their hands, and really connect. And I thank you for all that you do, and God bless you. Bye.
Thank you, Mindy. I remember that email a while back, and I'm glad you're able to connect. I think that's the one thing that I really want to try and do more of and work on is, like you say, the just sitting there and being present and with those that really need it. I met a family yesterday as I was driving around. As my wife said, were you looking driving around looking for homeless people? And I said, well, I'm sort of. It was Debbie, Wayne. Debbie and Wayne were the mother and father, and Marcus was the son. And the son was the same age as my son, a sophomore in high school. And they were homeless. And they were just, they had about 10 shopping carts, it seemed, full of stuff. The son had a guitar. He was trying to teach himself how to play. They had all this. And I asked him, I said, well, how do you kind of move along here? He's like, well, we sort of leapfrog. We take a little bit and So I asked him, I said, well, it was around lunchtime. And I said, would you like some lunch? And like, sure. And it just so happens there was a pizza place nearby. So I went and got a pizza for him and 4 glasses of water. They had a little pug dog, cute little dog, but he barked a lot. And so I brought it back for him. And they were eating. And then while they're eating, we chatted a little bit. And then I just sat down on the sidewalk silently and just closed my eyes and just tried to wish them all good things. I just sat there and for about 5 minutes, just quiet. And they might've been looking at me sort of oddly. I don't know, but I was just trying to give off this aurora of positive feelings all to them. In hopes that they will find kind of what they need. I don't want to sort of just hand something to someone and walk away. It really is something that I want to connect with them hear their story and maybe one day we'll actually solve some of the issues and really help them and give them what they need. I think that's kind of my goal for next year and how I want to start my classes is kind of coming in and saying, okay, what do you need from me today? What is it that I can do for you? Rather than thinking I know what they need.
So. Awesome. I love the expression, all good things. I'm going to go to our next caller now.
Hi, Bradley. Hi. This is Audrey. Hi, David. and Nicole. It's great to be on this call, and it's great to hear all these amazing stories. And I actually had 2 questions, if it might be okay to ask, or you can pick which one you want to answer. Mm-hmm. My first question was, and they're kind of related. One is, basically, I feel like every time I am with you, you are constantly seeing opportunities to do something for someone else, whether it's like running out of your way to open the door for someone or pay for, something sweet for the person in front of you in line, or even just smiling, greeting people, and picking up trash. So I was wondering, have you ever, been inspired to do an act of kindness and then kind of surprised by the result or by the reaction or the response? And how did you respond to that? And my second question is, what is a recent moment of kindness that you've experienced, I guess, or, what's the latest, like, snapshot into your window of of experiences?
Now we got to improvise, huh? a recent act of kindness, I guess it was gifted to me, I get one every evening when my wife and I get to go on a walk. When we just get to be by ourselves. And last night we were able to get another walk in. And so that gives us time to kind of be alone and to talk. It was a full moon last night. It was And then when she got back, so she one of her dishes that she makes or desserts that she cooks the most is her honey cake. And she was only going to make one batch, and it was for some friends. And all three loaves were going to go to them. She knows I love it. So afterwards she's like, okay, well, maybe I'll make two batches. And so she's in fact, she was going to make one this morning, before.
Aww.
And so, I mean, that was very sweet for me, because now I'll be able to go home and have a slice of it when I'm done here.
That is super sweet.
And, as far as, being surprised or not, I guess, one of the things that I've, this wasn't really an act of kindness, more it was an experiment that I did in San Francisco, where I had a little sign, and I had a bucket next to me. I had made some, I made some bookmarks, some homemade bookmarks, and I'd put them in there, and I'd put $50 in there. And the idea was I was just kind of experimenting to see how people would react and what they would do. And the sign said, you know, if you need some money, take some. If you want to leave some money, leave some. Whatever's left in the end, I'm going to donate somewhere. So it started out with $50, and I was blindfolded. And so I just sat there, and I could hear people coming up. I was being silent. And one gentleman came up, and this moved me. He's reading this. He's like, is this for real? He's going through, and he takes the money out, and he said, sure enough, he's like, yeah, there's $50 here. And he says, well, I don't need this now, and so he puts it back. And at that point, I was like, wow, that's how awesome is that? That here's this man who could clearly use this money, and he's like, you know, I'm going to leave it for someone else. So at that point, I was feeling really good. And I thought, oh, people are going to come by and they're going to start dropping money in here and I'm going to have so much to give away at the end. And then another gentleman comes up and he's reading it and he's like, oh, he's like, really, $50? He's like, great. And he walks away. And this was only like, this was maybe a half hour into it, and I was going to sit there for 2 hours. And so, but then my mind went in this negative place, and I just tried to, it's like, okay. And at the end, I took my blindfold off and I looked in, and sure enough, all the money was gone. And I didn't feel bad the money was gone, because that was its purpose. It was going to go anyway. But what I took away from it was not this gentleman, I mean, who took the money, but more the one who left it. I just have to sort of, it's like, oh, there's these people in the world that aren't just greedy. I mean, they're not going to take things just because they're there. They're going to realize, hey, I don't need this right now. Someone else might need it more than I do. I was surprised in a couple of different ways there. So,
Thank you, Freddie.
Hey, Bradley, it's Mikala Kozo.
Hey, how are you, Mikala?
Good. I just want to echo what everyone's been saying. Your vulnerability and your authenticity, it just really touches my heart. And I wanted to ask you, you know, it's funny you just told that story about the gentleman who took the money. I wanted to ask you, like, it seems to me that, you know, like you said, in your mid-20s, you weren't thinking about other people. And I get this impression that men have a harder time with kindness and compassion than women. And I guess the best example I can give you right now is last week's Karma Kitchen. We had 14 volunteers, and only 3 of them were men. You know, 11 of them were women. And so I wanted to ask you, like, how did you make that shift from, you know, being that mid-20-year-old who only thought about yourself to doing these amazing acts of kindness that you do now?
Great question, Mikala. A lot of it comes from, I think, the people that are around me, not unlike yourself. I do think the major shift has come in the last couple of years, certainly. But also, I think, is kind of being a teacher and the effect that my students have had on me, realizing that in both positive and negative ways, I can impact their lives. And so the question is then, how do I want to do that? And so to be a better teacher, I think, I think I needed this. I think not only to be a better human being, but to be a better teacher, to be a better father, to be a better husband, everything. I think it was just something that I needed to do. There was no really, or is no really, alternate path to take. And it is interesting that there were certainly a lot more men than women there. I think part of it is that you know, men typically have a different role in their life, or that they may see, and the way that they've been brought up. I actually was brought up more by women than men. My mother raised me until I was 7. And then when I went to live with my dad, it was my stepmother pretty much who raised me. I grew up in a household with a lot of sisters, and I was closer to all my sisters than I was my brothers, until I moved into adulthood. So I think all of that has helped shape me, and maybe, you know, led certainly to where I'm at today. So I don't know if that, completely answers your question, but it's been a lot of certainly a lot of things, and even, you know, I kind of mentioned up to my, you know, mid 20s, and even into my 30s, it was more about me finding enjoyment, and I mean, we did a lot of things with our family, and it was more about, I don't know, it was just it wasn't quite as deep. And maybe as meaningful as I think it could have been. And so, like I said, those are all things that I still need to work on.
Beautiful.
Beautiful, beautiful. Mm-hmm. And thank you again for the question, and thank you for all the thoughts. Bradley, we have a couple of questions that came over email, and I'm going to read the questions out loud here. The first question is from one of our volunteers, Radha Ivasuri, and I'm reading it out now. Thank you, Bradley, for being such a kind light in this world. I have a 14-year-old daughter. Sometimes when I try to introduce ideas of kindness, compassion in school, I often get a response saying, "Mom, people don't care about that." I see her practice small acts of kindness outside of school. I sense a fear of judgment from her peers and hesitate to put herself out there. Given that you work with kids, do you see this, and how do you guide them with this?
Great question. At my own school, I see kids doing kind acts all the time. From one particular student who will regularly go out and pick up trash during his free period. When he sees it, he doesn't just walk past it, he picks it up and throws it away. To students who will hold doors open for other people. And so I think I've been very fortunate there. I always go back to the fact that someone even reflected on this yesterday. I was reading, I think what they were trying to say was it doesn't do any good to preach to students about kindness or anything else for that matter, what works is leading by example. They see what we do, and that's how they're going to be. And so as a teacher, I just try and bring that in intentionally every day. And I imagine there's some days I'm not as successful as others. But over the past few months, what I've seen is, and it could just be my warped perception, but what I've seen is that I haven't seen as much litter on the ground. I haven't seen, I've seen kids hold doors open more often. I've seen people smile more often and say hello. Even if it's just me walking by a student and saying good morning. So anyways, I think it's something that, you know, it's a tough thing for students certainly to do, but we have clubs on our campus who are kind of geared towards kindness, if you will. There are some people who will, that know when all the students' birthdays are, and they'll put notes on lockers. Something very simple like that. So if your daughter, kind of starting a kindness club. I think there's one at Mitty High School. I think they have something along those lines also. I think it's tough being a teenager. There's no doubt about it. I think that there's no act of kindness that's too small. And some things I think that people do, like they might not think like I said, just smiling at somebody, that's an act of kindness. And just saying good morning and calling them by their names. So I think some people do this and don't realize that the effect that they're having. So I think we just have to take heart in that.
Right. Kindness club in high school, I didn't even think about it before. Well, what an idea. I mean, I love that. And I'm happy to actually know that so many schools have that going as well.
Mm-hmm.
We have one more question, Bradley, over email. And it is, when you look at selfishness in the world around you, does it sometimes depress you? If so, what tools do you use to uplift you again?
One thing that I've actually tried to do is I've tried to avoid some of the major media markets because it is very depressing. And I stop going reading Yahoo News, and I try and surround myself with positive things. In fact, the other day, Carol had mentioned to me about what happened in Kenya. And as I have no idea. I don't know. And so then she told me the story, and it's like, oh. And I just thought, the whole idea of the belief that I want to have that there's goodness in everybody. And then you see some of the horrendous things that happen, and I just wonder, it's like, okay, there's goodness in these people, but where is it? What's happened to people that, you know, you're brought into the world with a beautiful act of kindness, and then somewhere along the lines you get filled with hate, and it's, where is it that we're going wrong, and what's happening? And so I guess what I've tried to do is to divorce myself from that a little bit. Ignorance is bliss. And then when I hear it, I just try, sometimes I'll try and find someone to talk to about it, and see, is there any reason that can be made of this? What good is going to come out of this? And then a lot of times I'll just, okay, it's time to listen to Empty Hands again. And that, then I just like, okay, I'm gonna bury myself in music, and I'm gonna listen to this, and then if I go out and do an act of kindness, it's like, okay, try and get back in that space that I want to be in, because that selflessly makes me feel much better. So.
Yeah, I'm going to jump in. Is it okay if I jump in, Devin?
Sure, go ahead, Nicole.
I think I'm noticing something or a pattern or something that that you speak of and I've heard other people speak of too, of sometimes when you face that negativity, your body or your mind wants to naturally kind of protect or close off and turn off. And what I hear you, what I heard you just say, and you've said this a couple times, is instead of doing that, you choose kindness, and you choose to kind of choose to be open. and it actually is a conscious choice.
I must say, I don't always succeed.
Yeah, right.
There are many, many times that I fail. And I just reflect on that, and I was like, okay, and I try and learn from it. So yeah.
But you still are in that conversation with yourself.
Yes.
It seems like, and you're really choosing to be in that conversation, if it works or if it doesn't. But I think it's just, for me, it's really resonating that instead of reacting and turning in, you choose to turn outwards and see how you can spread it in the world.
Right, and what inspires me so much, Bradley, it's like a before and after story to me. It's like you said, you started this only 2 years ago, and it's like what a journey and what a message. And so, if I may be too greedy of a host and ask one question, Bradley, what is the shift that you're seeing in yourself? Like, how do you see yourself now compared to 2 years ago when you embarked on this such a special initiative and journey?
What's
the difference to you?
I feel much more calm within myself. I don't get... I used to get angry a lot faster. I would come to anger, and I don't feel that as much. I just feel this inner peace that that things are going to be okay, regardless of what happens. And we are where we're supposed to be, or I am where I'm supposed to be at any given time. And I'm not really afraid of things like. I mean, not that I'm in a hurry to die at all. I got lots of things that I want to do, but I'm not. I mean, I can say it. I don't know. Maybe it'd be different if I were in that position. But I don't fear death as much as I used to before. I'm letting go of a lot of things that I used to be attached to, a lot of material goods. I don't have the wants that I had before, and it's for me it's kind of freeing, and for others it's hard to accept, again, I mean I'm not trying to change anyone else per se and say, well, this is how you should be, or you know, you shouldn't have this or you shouldn't do this. It's just that I don't want that. And so that's, you know, we all just respect what each other wants.
Facing fear and letting things go and controlling the anger, like, I wish I'd heard you a few years ago, at least if not longer. Right? And your reply there really connected me with one response we had on a Kindspring call, actually, that we had a few months ago. And Biju, one of our volunteers, actually had brought a very powerful perspective to kindness. And it's based on some of the readings and research and work he has been doing. And he said that our emotional brain, the amygdala, is wired to fight or fly, basically, fight or flight response. But it's wired to react to fear. And when we start the acts of kindness and when we are paying attention to our thoughts, it's actually rewiring our emotional brain in a completely different way. And that is so powerful, and it's so liberating, actually, that you are able to control and channel that tremendous energy in a positive way. Very inspiring call. And Nicole, if you'd like to ask Bradley a question or two and wrap it up with him, and then we'll do a minute of gratitude.
Absolutely. actually, I would love to hear maybe a story of your time in Karma Kitchen, maybe even the most recent one, if you have
So,
or a story from your top 10 list, because I think we only got to one.
Yeah. Well, I got another story that I'll tell that has a little bit to do with fear, and how it kind of put me in a different place. So I was in San Jose one evening. My daughter had a dance she had to go to, and so it was 8:30, 9 o'clock at night, and I was walking around, I actually had I had brought my jacket with me. And so some of the things I did, there was a man on the street, and it was kind of chilly at night, and he looked about my size, and I asked him, I said, oh, would you like a jacket? And he's like, well, I said, I don't have any money to pay for it. I said, no, it's a gift. So I took it off, and I went down there with the intention of giving it away, and I was happy that I could. And so I gave him my jacket. And not long after that, and so that was a nice, it was just a kind of a beautiful interaction. And then after that, I'm walking, and someone says something to me behind me. And maybe I didn't hear them, I don't know, and they thought I was ignoring them. And then they yelled at me, and then I could hear them. I'm not going to say what they said, but they threw out a few not so nice words at me. And I turned around, and I saw a young guy, maybe in his mid-20s, early 20s. And he was either had a little bit to drink, maybe he'd been on some drugs, I don't know. But he certainly wasn't in a good place. And at that instant, I mean, there was fear within me. I mean, I just went from this place of this beautiful, positive interaction, and now being confronted with this, and I didn't know what to do, because I was just, you know, kindness was no longer on my mind. And so I just kept walking, started walking a little faster, and then he started sort of running after me, and I thought, okay, now this can't possibly end well. And he was still yelling, and I just told him I wasn't looking for any trouble, And anyways, you know, he finally stopped, and then I kept walking. I was sort of shaking, and it's like, and I couldn't help but think what I could have done differently to maybe help him out. I don't know really what caused any of the interaction, quite honestly, because like I said, maybe he had said something and he thought I was ignoring him when in fact I just didn't hear him. Or maybe it was something completely different. For all I know, he saw me give the jacket to the guy and he got mad that I didn't give it to him. I don't know. But it was just, in hindsight, it's like I should have stopped, and I should have, you know, met him with kindness and compassion. And I was telling people this, and like, no, you did the right thing. You got out of there. And I'm not really sure. If it was certainly was a safer thing, I guess. But I'm still, it's like, okay, how could I kept thinking, what would Pancho do? Pancho would have stopped right there and held space with him. And I thought, okay, I'm not quite there yet. But yeah, that was certainly one of the instances where fear took over. And I think that's part of the problem with what happens is most of what we do, it seems that we act out of fear, not out of a place of trust. And the question is, how do we get there? How do we get to trust, respect, and kindness and out of, you know, fear and distrust? And it's just something, it's a journey that...
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that story. That was beautifully expressed, just how that shows up in every day. Mm-hmm. And you know, you went from one space to another space, and it just it resonates with me, and I know it resonates with so many people. And that, and in the face of that, you don't stop. You just continue to have that conversation with yourself, and it sounds like you seek to get to a point where you can have more kindness in the face of that fear, even own personal fear. And that's, you know, some next steps for you. But you just don't stop because you went through a scary situation, right? So so thank you. And this has just been a beautiful, beautiful call. And Bradley, I want to thank you for sharing your stories and your life with us so openly. I know there will be many, many ripples that come from them. And I also want to thank Devin and the whole team that is making this call happen, as well as all the callers.
Thank you,
hand
Nicole.
It off to you. Yeah.
Thank you, Nicole. Thank you so much, Devin. Nick.
And indeed, there is a really good cesspool of volunteers making it all happen, and so we are grateful for all of that. We are hitting our time mark, Bradley, and I wanted to ask you real quick before we wrap the call with a minute of gratitude. On behalf of Service Space volunteers and all that we do, is there a way we can help you in this incredible journey that you are pursuing?
I get so much support right now from Audrey, offering up to hold circles. I think, you know, in the near future, what I would really like to see happen is I would love to see service space come into our school. I think just to go out, I mean, everyone in service space does right now incredible things. For me, it's about three things: respect, trust, and kindness. And the three can't be, they're not unrelated from one another. And everyone in service space, I think, is already there. So I just say go out and dedicate an act of kindness,
Wow.
Done.
What a thought, Ben. Thank you all one last time. And on count of three, please join me in thanking our speaker today, Bradley. On count of three, one, two, three.
Thank you, Bradley.
Thank you, Bradley. Namaste.
Namaste.